thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shaw.
Have you ever had to follow up on a guarantee, only to find out that the guarantor was no longer in business? It happened to us the other day. We went out on our date day. Somehow my truck always turns towards a bookstore. I don't know how that happens. It just magically turns towards that used bookstore. Nicole loves it, how that happens. And sure enough, we pulled into this parking lot, and we walked in. We were trying to walk in and realized there are no cars. The sign was not lit. So I'm walking up, I'm looking to see what exactly is happening, and there's a handwritten note that says, "Thank you for your business, we're no longer in business." I was heartbroken. I was in tears. I said, "Come on, not my favorite used bookstore." I had a discount card with some points on it for returning books and buying books. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, "There you go, it's over." Now that's nothing compared to salvation. When it comes to salvation, God is the guarantor, and He always finishes what He starts. He never goes out of business, amen? He never says, "Yeah, I know I promised that, but did you read the fine print? I can't keep it." Not true. And so this morning's message is called Guaranteed. It's in our series to the book of Philippians called Grateful. And we are in chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Remember that, from the first day until now. Now here's the verse we're going to focus on. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it," and pay attention to this, "until the day of Jesus Christ." Question this morning for all of us as we unpack this verse. It is rich, it is deep, and it is very applicable. The question is, has God begun a good work in you? Can you think back to a time where you can say, "Yes, I know. I know for a fact that God's work of grace is in my life, has happened in my life." Are you saved? No work, no salvation. Now, some people's work is going to be a lot, some is going to be little. But there's always going to be some work. No work, no salvation. Now, last weekend we learned that Paul's relationship with the Philippians was based upon three words. The first word was the word trust. It was based on mutual trust. They trusted him and he trusted them. The second word is the word joy. Every time Paul thought about the Philippians, his heart was filled with gratefulness, and he began to make a request for them with joy. You know what joy is? It is something that is not hinged on circumstances. Things can be really bad, and you could be having a rough day, but there is a joy in your heart, something deep within that nothing and no one can ever take away. His relationship with the Philippians was also based on joy. But then there was a third word that we briefly touched, is the word hope. There was hope. Paul had hope in his heart for the Philippians. What is this hope? Listen again to verse 6. "Being confident," Paul says, "I have solid hope that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it." He will finish what he has begun in your life. Paul had solid hope. Solid confidence that God will begin and finish the work of salvation in the life of the Philippians. Now, this morning, the message is actually very simple. There are only two points. The first point is, what does it mean? And the second point is, how does it apply? How does it work? But I will warn you, it's a very deep message. It is not just do this four things and your life will be great and you'll have a good day. But it is so rich that it fundamentally changes the way you see God. It changes the way you live your Christian life. It changes the way you see others. So, the first, what does it mean? What is the good work that Paul is talking about? He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work. The good work that Paul is referring to is God's work of salvation. More specifically, it's God's work of grace in the life of a believer. Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 1:4. By the way, all the references we will look at will be from Paul's letter. Paul's letters to the various churches and individuals. We don't have time to go through the entire Bible on this subject. But listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 1:4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. You know what salvation is? God's grace coming into our life through Jesus Christ. Salvation from start to finish is God's good work of grace. Nothing I can do, nothing I can bring to the table. It is simply receiving what he has done for us. It is God's work, and by the way, it is a good work. Sometimes people think, man, if I get saved, I'm going to lose my family. If I get saved, I'm going to lose my friends. If I get saved, I'm going to lose all my fun. If I get saved, I'm going to lose all my freedom. That is the enemy's lies. It is a good work. Means it gives, it doesn't take away. Y'all get it? But the enemy will tell you, if you get saved, you know all your fun's going to stop, all your friendship's going to stop, all your freedom's going to stop. Just the opposite. You gain so much more. Let me ask you this morning, and I will ask you repeatedly, has God's good work of grace happened in your life? You know what Paul says in Ephesians 2:8? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When it comes to salvation, all you can do is come with open hands and say, God, I need it. I need you to save me. I need what Jesus did on the cross for my sins. I need it. God says, okay. If you say, God, I'm going to clean house first. I'm going to give up this habit. I'm going to stop this behavior. God says, well, then it's not grace. Something else here. Paul refers to 2 days in those three verses. 2 days, two very important days in the life of a Christian. Now listen very carefully. If you go to a graveyard, you see two dates. One is the day you're born. The other one is the day you die. Not for a Christian. For a believer, there are 2 days. The first one is the first day. Paul says in verse 5, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. What's the first day? The day you got saved. The day you received Jesus as your Savior is the first day of your life. Several years ago, I was preaching, and I mentioned this way. I said, you know, sometimes you cannot remember the day you received Christ. I personally know people who cannot remember the time or the GPS location where they actually received Christ. It was so early in their life, they cannot receive. And they've come to me and they ask the question, do you think I'm saved? And my question to them is, do you believe Jesus as your Savior? I know I do, but I cannot remember the exact time and place. Am I lost? I said, there is no verse in the Bible that says you got to remember the exact time and place. But do you believe? They say, yes. But I still struggle with this. You know what I told them? Pick a day. Pick a day. Let that be the first day of your salvation so that no longer the enemy can say, are you sure? Are you sure? That doesn't come from God. That is your first day. The second day, again, it's not the day you die. For us, it is day I was born, day I die. Not for a believer. The second day, Paul says, is what? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. First day, you get saved. Second day, Christ returns. Now, this is very important to Paul because he mentions it several times. He says it again in Philippians 1:10, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. The second day is the day when Christ will come again for us. Now, you may not physically make it to the second day. You may die until Christ returns. But on that day, God will finish what he has begun. You will have a glorious resurrection, and you will look more like Jesus Christ than you ever did. And that is the guarantee that God has given to you and God has given to us. Now, here's the point. Listen very carefully. Between the first day, the born-again day, and the day of Jesus Christ, Jesus returning us for us day, God is going to complete what he started. Between the first day and the day of Jesus Christ, he will finish what he has started in your life. God never leaves a job half done. Now, some people will say, well, I have an objection. I know God is responsible for our salvation, but aren't we responsible too? And they usually quote a passage like Philippians 2:12. They said, where Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And they say this, I know God's working in me, but I got to work out my salvation too. Because if I don't work out my salvation, then the work stalls. How do I answer them? Keep reading. Don't stop at verse 12. Go on to verse 13. What does verse 13 say? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Which means this, folks, when Bible says, when Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear, fear means what? Humility. What an awesome gift God has given to me in Jesus Christ. Every day I live with that fear, with that humility. Not fear that I will lose it, fear that, wow, God, you're so amazing. It is your glory that is happening in my life. Trembling is obedience. You know, when do you tremble when somebody says, you better do this? There's a sense of obedience that is in my life. But listen, whether I have fear and trembling, humility and obedience, it does not stop God from finishing what he has begun in my life. You know what happens when you truly understand that everything you have when it comes to your salvation is by the grace of God? It doesn't lead to more sin. It actually leads to fear and trembling. It helps you realize how amazing is that grace. How awesome is that God who came down to give his life for me. I cannot go out there and fool around. Because I realize what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. It means there is something greater that is happening. Paul says again in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Folks, there are much deeper things than, oh, I better not mess around because I'll lose it. No, it brings you into the deeper things of God. The sanctification of God in your life. The belief in the truth. Something else to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13. Listen to what it says. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, what does it say? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But I understand that everything is by the grace of God. It doesn't get me to go, oh, let me go out and just party and do crazy stuff. It helps me realize there's a seal on my heart. There are other objections. Some people will say, what if the enemy tries to steal you away? What if Satan is coming to stall the work of God? Well, the Bible says, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Stop giving the enemy more credit than is due. He will establish you and he will guard you from the enemy. What if the temptation is too much? And I am in this journey and God is working in me, but the temptation lures me away. Oh no, I'm not saved anymore. Oh no, I'm lost. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. What you're going through is not the ultimate that God says in heaven, oh, I cannot believe they did that. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How beautiful is that? Listen to Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So maybe in this life you may feel like, man, I lost today. Last night was a horrible time. My wife and I didn't get along. Or our kids are not doing well. Or our church families. Listen, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Then here comes that beautiful verse. Verse 38. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In this journey from day one to the day of Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing at all. Now, I know there are some more objections coming, and I'm going to deal with them briefly. But here's another objection somebody has. They say, well, what if I feel lost? What if I feel condemned? Well, that happened in Corinthians and Romans, where a weak brother was feeling like he was perishing or being destroyed. 1 Corinthians 8:11, Romans 14:15, it talks about a weak brother perishing or being destroyed. People say, isn't that hell? The weak brother messed up and slipped and he perished? Read the whole context and it will tell you that perishing and being destroyed in this passage is about self-condemnation. You know what self-condemnation is? Where you mess up, God has forgiven you, but you cannot forgive yourself. There are people who live under self-condemnation. They come talk to me and they say, you know, I messed up years ago, or I did this and I did that in my marriage or whatever. And I ask them the question, do you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Oh, yeah, I believe that. But I tell you what, I've just been, have you made it right with people the best you can? Oh, yeah, I've done all that. But I just cannot seem to get over. I say, I don't know what to tell you. You are perishing. You are being destroyed, but you are being perished and destroyed by yourself. This is you. You are under self-condemnation. Your conscience is being wounded, and you're letting the enemy work on you. What is the solution then? Get into the truth. Get into the promises. There's a reason why I'm preaching this message today, to help you get into the truth. To so inundate you with the truth and the promises of God, so when you are self-condemning, you can stop and say, wait a minute. God has promised he will finish what he started. So what I'm feeling right now, I've already confessed and made it right with God. Holy Spirit, you have sealed my heart. Take me out of this self-imposed guilt and help me to live. Hey, listen, he will answer you. He will bring you out of that condemnation. How about in Galatians? Some people bring up this passage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, where Paul says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, what was happening in the Galatian church, if you remember, there's a difference between the Galatians and the Philippians. The Galatians had received the grace of God, had received Jesus as their Savior, but now they were starting to keep the law. They were going back to circumcision. They were going back to the Old Testament law. Paul told them this. He said, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That definitely sounds like they're going to be lost. Then he says in verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. That definitely sounds like they're lost. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us, but they're going back to the circumcision, and that is estranging them, that is separating them. Paul tells the Galatians, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Man, that definitely sounds like they're lost. If you start by grace, but then you go back to the law, then you are, fallen from grace. Is that what Paul was saying? Listen carefully. Yes, that's what Paul was saying. If you go back to the law, if you go back to the circumcision, you will fall from grace. But now I want you to hear what he says in verse 10. Listen very carefully. Galatians 5:10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. If you start in grace, go to the law, you're going to lose what you had. But, Paul says, I know that you're not going to do that. What Paul is telling the Galatians, listen carefully, open your ears, is an impossible possibility. Impossible possibility means there is this possibility, but it's going to be impossible because you are truly saved. You're not going to go back to the law, so you're not going to lose your salvation. You say, man, that sounds like a contradiction. That sounds like a paradox. I know. But how many of y'all have ever said to your children, if you ever do that, you're no child of mine? Ever said that? I know I have. Now, I can say that to them, but doesn't change a thing because they're still my children. What if they go ahead and do whatever that thing is? They're still my children. What if I disown them? Well, you have something called DNA. I can disown them all day long. They're still my children. It's an impossible possibility. Yeah, it is possible, but it is impossible. What Paul is telling them is this. If you begin by grace, he says it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? It's a rhetorical question that is like, you know that is not possible. Folks, are y'all getting this? That if God has truly begun the work of salvation in your life, you can be confident that until the day of Jesus Christ, He will continue to work and He will finish what He has started. There's nothing you can do or the enemy can do or I can do that can ever take that away from you. Now, there are several passages where it definitely sounds like some people are going to leave the faith. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, keep that tucked away, in latter times some will depart from the faith. What if I depart from the faith? Isn't that going to mess up what God's going to finish? So I remind them, what was the word that I told you to tuck away? Latter times, in the end time. Read the book of Revelation. It talks about some will apostatize in the latter time. There will be a time in the end of times where some will leave the faith. But if you take everything that's going to happen in the end of times and make it normative to present time, that is not biblical. Y'all get what I'm saying? Some things will happen in the end of times where people will believe Jesus Christ as their Savior, truly believe, and then walk away from it. But not today. That is in the latter times where the enemy will do some crazy stuff. You say, how do you know that? Listen to 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, listen, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, in the end of times, the Holy Spirit will be restricted. Right now, He is working. But there is going to come a time where He will go hands off. and the enemy will have full reign, and he will wreak havoc, even to the point that those who believe in Jesus Christ will say, well, you know, come to think of it, that sounds good. See you, Jesus. And they'll walk away from the faith. But that's not today. That's in latter times. One more verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. People say, well, there you go. Again, this is about the end times. Not today. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, how does all this help me? It's great to know that God will finish what he's begun in my life, that he will make me more like Christ, that his work of grace will be completed. But how does that help me? It helps us in several ways. Number one, you begin to grow in the Spirit. Folks, if every day I have to begin by asking the question, am I truly saved? It's like every day going back to kindergarten and starting all over again. When you have the assurance that even when you mess up, God will discipline you. He will take you to the woodshed, but he will not turn his back on you. He will not say, well, I am through with you. You can keep growing. Something else. Now you have the freedom to serve. When I have the assurance that I'm a child of God, even if I had a bad day, even if I had a bad week, even if I had a bad night, the next day I can say, God, I'm no good, but these are my responsibilities, God. I am going to do what needs to be done. Even though I don't feel like it right now, I know you got to do some work in my life, but I'm going to go back and serve and do what needs to be done. When you have to question your very status as a child of God, that is no wonder how people start in some ministry, they mess up, they feel like I'm not saved anymore, and they stop serving. Do you know churches like that where people start and they don't stop, and you don't see them again? What happened? I don't know. I got to get saved. I thought you were saved. Well, yeah, I kind of messed up, but I got to get some things straightened out. What things are you going to straighten out? It is God's work. Come to God. Come to Jesus Christ. Receive his grace. Start serving. Get into the battle. It's like this. If it's a soldier, an American soldier fighting on a foreign soil, and he gets a letter in the mail that says, oh, just to let you know, your citizenship has been revoked. How much energy and how much passion will he have to fight in the battle? You lose all energy. You lose all passion. Because now you have to prove your status before you can fight again. But when you know that your status is secure, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. You can say, enemy, I know that you won yesterday, but I do know this, that I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I'm back in the battle. I have put on the whole armor of God. I'm going back in. Something else. You become less judgmental of self and of others. Seek his forgiveness. Stop self-condemning. Stop giving a loophole to the enemy to get into your life. Start living. Start trusting. And lastly, you become grateful. When I know that everything from start to finish is done by him, how much credit can I take?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Our God is a God who brings things to completion. You can trust that in everything that you're going through, he's faithful to finish the good work that he started in you. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.